wondering how many, when you came here tonight and Pastor Greg said we're having this service, we're really expecting a business meeting and not a church service with four sermons. Well, this is the part of the agenda I know that y'all have been looking forward to, because this is the last one. And to read to you from Ephesians chapter 5, reading verses 25 through 30. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Well, the short, familiar passage here, it's one that's probably most often used in the context of premarital counseling or marriage counseling when things aren't going quite well. But if we kept on reading, we would have found out that this is actually speaking about primarily Christ and his church. And in this context, of course, we might think first of Christ's universal church, of, you know, all the saints across all of the globe. But right here in this room, we find an important component of that church in this body that is now officially constituted as Covenant OPC. So how big of a deal is it that is happening here tonight, congregation of the Lord? Well, there's nothing less than the bride of Christ that we are talking about here tonight. A bride that Christ loves intensely. A one that it says he cherishes. A one that he calls glorious. And each one of you here tonight, as members of that body, are part of that integral, or an integral part of that glorious bride. And this isn't some sort of a passive role where you get to just sit back and eat and drink and be merry, or to be carried to heaven on flowery beds of ease, as one of my more favorite hymns talks about. No, you are called as a soldier of the cross. So tonight, in the few minutes that are allocated to me, I want to think about with you some of what this means, what this looks like as brothers and sisters united together in the name of Jesus Christ, working and ministering as his congregation in this particular local body of Christ. And to do this, I'm going to use one of my more favorite devices for considering things. We're going to look at this in three ways. We're going to look at it inwardly, outwardly, and upwardly, if that's a word. So that inward role, this is this charge to you from an inward role. We know that this church is composed of people united together in the name of Christ. We are the family of God, but we are also individuals. And as such, we have things that each one of us are called to do, that we are called to be. And there's so many things I could point out here, but I want to pick on two in this section. Two particular items, nothing earth-shaking, nothing new, stuff you all know. But this first thing, this first part of the charge, that you must love one another. You must love one another. It's critical, absolutely foundational to the church of Jesus Christ. And this is so easy when things are going well. This can be really easy when we're talking about, you know, the people that we generally like, those ones that we get along with and we hang out with all the time. Of course, I can love these people. But as the people of Christ united together in this body, we don't really get to be this picky about it. We must love each and every single person through each and every single circumstance. I mean, we hear such scriptural admonitions as Romans 12 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." Colossians 3, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And we can go on and on. But what this really means is you must really care for each other. All of you. Each one of you. That means you really must put in the time. This means you must really be invested in each other. Therefore, there are practical implications of this. This means you need to talk to each other. When you come to church, you don't get to talk to those three people that you always talk to. You need to talk to each other. You talk to everybody, all of them. Not just the nice ones, not just the really cool ones, not just the ones that share those common interests. It means spending time with one another in and out of the building that you're in. Oh, so important. You pray for one another. This has all sorts of implications. Each one of these could become a message of its own. But pray for one another. That means you know each other. You know what to pray for. You know what those needs are to rejoice with and to weep with and to ask God about. This means you do practical good for one another. You do and work with one another. This means you let go of the need to always win everything, to always come out on top, to always get your way. You put others first. Remember that we are a family. We are charged with loving one another. But also here in this inward role, we need to prioritize the body. And this is a biggie. This is a huge one. Life is so busy with so many truly important things that take up so much of our attention and so much of our time. And the church often takes a back seat, getting displaced by these things. When I say the church takes the back seat, I don't mean the back seat of a compact car, and it's pretty close to the front there. I'm talking the church can take a back seat like a Greyhound bus, and it's way back there, hardly in the same vehicle. Learn the importance of the church. Learn the critical nature of the church and what it means to you, particularly the local church, to you and to your family. And this means then practical things. Things like make the time necessary to be here. Make the time necessary to hear that life-giving and life-changing and life-sustaining Word of God. Make that time to be fellowshipping with the saints. Make the time to be worshiping with the saints together and getting that foretaste of heaven. It's been said by many that if you aren't very interested in church, you probably don't have that much interest in heaven. I think there's a lot of truth in that particular statement. Understand how important it is what is happening in your body, and do what it takes. Do what is necessary. Make that priority. Maybe that means giving up something fun. And, you know, I now have to go to bed early on Saturday night so I can be awake on time, so that I can be alert for church, and so I can get there on time. Maybe that means giving up some tradition on Sunday afternoon, that thing that you've always done with your family, so you can be there in the evening service. Again, meeting together with the body around the Word, around the Lord Jesus Christ. Do whatever it takes. Eliminate those barriers. You need to truly understand the importance of being here. You need to grow to want to be here, and then actually being here will be easy. That's the inward role I want to talk about. But secondly, I want to talk about the outward role. And here to also call out two things, which I brilliantly and helpfully labeled the inward-outward role and the outward-outward role. So it's just very clear what I'm talking about. But first of all, there's the inward-outward role, or the internal-outward role. So as members of the congregation, you have responsibilities right here inside the house, right here inside the body. Christ, in organizing the church, he didn't leave it as some sort of amorphous blob with no structure. He gave it a structure. And like a body, it has all sorts of various parts to it. We read in Romans chapter 12, for as many as we have many members in one body, but all the members, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. This means we have a responsibility to each other as the body of Christ, as parts of that body. And I already talked about that responsibility that we have to each other as members. I want to speak of another part there. It's that we have a responsibility to that structure that Christ created. And we saw some of that officially happening here as elders were ordained and installed. Christ has established pastors and elders, and Christ has established deacons as those that are to serve the church as its leaders and as its officers. And you, congregation, have the God-given role of submission to them, of following after their leadership. And the Bible says, submit to them in such a way as to cause joy, not to be a burden to them. We read in Hebrews 13, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those that must give account. Something here that probably those three who were just ordained are just feeling the crushing weight almost of that statement. Something that you should rejoice in, that they are looking out for your souls. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. This means you are to give them the respect that's due them in their office and in their calling in Christ Church. Will they always live up to that? No, not at all. But you are to give them that respect as Christ's servants, regardless as God himself has called you to in his words. This also means you're to provide for them materially as appropriate. As a congregation, you have a role to do that as well. So it's always an uncomfortable topic, but it's an important one nonetheless. This means you are to obey them in the Lord. You obey them blindly? Of course not. Obey them in the Lord. As your fathers in the Lord. And this means, perhaps most importantly of all, that you must be constantly in prayer for them, holding them up to the throne of God. This is critically important. I can't urge this upon you enough. They are looking out for you. And as such, they are special targets of the forces of darkness. Beseech God on their behalf all the time. Don't let a single day go by in your morning prayers that you don't hold them up to the throne of grace. We have that internal, that inward-outward role. But there's this outward role as well. We've heard something about this tonight with Pastor Cutler, Kessler. The church has been given this super-duper incredibly important role of bringing the gospel to the world. It is our mission. It is your mission to see the kingdom of God expanded into our neighborhoods, to see it expanded into our communities, to see it expanded into the highways and byways. We've heard tonight that you are the salt of the earth out of Matthew 5. We've heard that you are the light of the world. And it goes on, it says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We were exhorted earlier, you are these things, not you aspire to hopefully someday be that. You are these things. We are the salt, we are the light, and we have been placed on a hill. We cannot be hidden. So, dear congregation, hear this well. This isn't the pastor's job. This isn't the elder's job. This isn't, you know, that one really gregarious, outgoing person who just loves to be out there doing street preaching's job. At least it's not just their jobs. This means it is your job as part of the body of Christ. And what does this do? This means that you, too, need to know the gospel yourself so that you can share it. This means that you, too, need to start viewing your neighbors and your friends as eternal souls, not just bodies going through the motions of life. This means caring enough about others who are just in a dreadfully terrible condition to share that gospel with them. Caring about them enough to overcome that fear that seems natural, it's in so many, that makes us shut up and not share that gospel. Care enough about eternal souls in an eternal state. I mean, you would never stand there passively watching a person walking down the tracks, unaware of that train that's barreling up behind them about to smash them. No, you would yell at them. You would scream at them. You'd do whatever it takes to get their attention. They're in mortal danger. You don't care if they think you're some sort of wow, wacko, stupid, foolish person out there doing that. You don't care if they think you're nuts. You don't care if they don't believe you. They're in mortal danger, and you can help them. And you would do whatever it takes. Why is it so different with the truly, really bad danger that they're actually in? Third, we have our upward role. And we've said from the beginning here, and you've heard over and over tonight, this isn't your church. This isn't Pastor Graves' church. This isn't the OPC's church. This is Christ's church. And he is working, as we read in our text, to present it to himself as a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. Cherished in his sight. Never forget this. Never forget his amazing grace that's been poured out on you. Never forget his call on you. Never forget his amazing sacrifice for you. And show it. Show it by praising him. Show it by living for him. Show it by glorifying him. Show it by worshiping him as the body of Christ. These other roles are important, but they're really all getting to this. And this is how we fulfill our chief end, glorifying him and enjoying him now and forevermore. So we read in Romans 11, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for the congregation of Covenant OPC. Lord, I pray your richest blessing upon them. Lord, may they serve you well. May they worship you. Lord, may they do all those things you're called to do as members of the body of Christ. Oh, Lord, may you be here in their midst. May be those who reflect well the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may they truly be that shining light on a hill, showing forth the glories of Jesus Christ to this world. Oh, Lord, thank you. May you be praised and honored and glorified in Jesus' name.